VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the National Center for PTSD from the Veterans Administration, according to best estimates they had, about 6 out of every 100 people, 6% of the U.S. adult population, will have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, at some point in their lives. Well, other estimates from other sources estimate that number to be as many as 8%. Well, PTSD impacts both men and women, indicate that veterans are more likely to have PTSD than civilians. But the question is, what exactly is PTSD? How does it manifest itself? Is there biblical help or support for one that is experiencing PTSD? Joining us today, we welcome in studio Kevin Robb, the chapter director for Wounded Spirits Ministries. Kevin, good to have you with us today.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So let's begin defining PTSD. What exactly is it?
Well, post-traumatic stress disorder is, you know, just kind of what it sounds like there. It's things that happen after a traumatic situation. It could be, you know, the common thing, in fact, what raised awareness was the Vietnam veterans and war and that kind of thing. So the common thing was the idea of you've been in a battle and you come home from the battle, you leave the battle, but the battle doesn't leave you. And so the whole notion that after a traumatic experience, there is going to be a stress, but everyone, you know, everyone has problems and everyone has stress, but the stress that stays and doesn't go away and the battle just stays with you. And it could be not only combat PTSD, but accidents, just being, you know, seeing death. Abuse, disease, you know, serious disease, maiming, disability, betrayal. If you've lost a loved one, you know, just grief induces PTSD many times, and then also abandonment. So, you know, these are just life-changing things, game-changing scenarios where you will become different.
I know oftentimes many will associate PTSD just for, you know, people who've served in the military, but as you've explained, that's not necessarily the case. It can be. There may be higher incidence there, but there are many things that will trigger this PTSD. But so let's talk about some of those triggers for PTSD. You mentioned really traumatic events then.
Yeah. So really, we have to distinguish the cause of the trauma and then the cause of the trigger. So the trauma is the initial thing. And just to define that in a kind of a two-pronged way, because of the idea of combat PTSD, many times we associate PTSD or trauma with being a sudden, you know, kind of a major acute event that causes, you know, PTSD. But it's also an accumulating thing. So there are people who are going through a, you know, kind of an accruing situation, a low level, perhaps emotional abuse, manipulation, bullying every day in school, you know, just a low level thing. And it's not one major thing. It's not like they took you out and beat you half to death one time and you spent a month in the hospital and that changed your life. It's sometimes those experiences are an aggregate of things that cause later on the notion something's not right and you don't even know what it is. So the need for this ministry is absolutely essential. But going to what you said about triggers, Jim, triggers are an experience that's typically related to it. Combat PTSD oftentimes is, you know, ordnance, explosions, guns, that kind of thing. And so a balloon pop, fireworks, that kind of thing, very common triggers, very real triggers. But if someone's been abused, a trigger, for instance, if your abuser was in an institution in authority over you and wore a suit, someone that's been just been through a long abuse or a sudden abuse by someone that dresses that way, every time you see someone like that, you're going to say, I don't want to be here. Hmm. I can't face this. And you don't know why in the beginning. So a trigger, you know, can be oftentimes very, very much like what took place, but just on the vestiges of similarities.
Some could suffer from PTSD just by learning of the sudden death of a loved one. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. If you suddenly lose something, the upending of familiarity and the loss of someone who's important to you is obviously seriously traumatic. And it grief and the stages of grief, you know, from denial all the way down, you know, anger, all those kind of things. That would be considered one type of PTSD, and just going into that because of someone that's, you know, was very close to you. Oftentimes it's unexpected. I didn't know it would be that hard, or it could be expected. Like, I hope I never lose my mother. I don't know what I would do. And so you kind of set yourself up for PTSD, but whatever the cause, yes, sir. Whoever you lost, it can be very, very life-changing where you cannot function right. And whereas most people can probably, you know, get over it and go back to work, you know, in a few days or whatever, we're talking about people that sometimes go into a very, very, very deep depression and don't come out of it without treatment. And that's what we're offering is a biblical approach to PTSD.
We're speaking today with Kevin Robb, the chapter director for Wounded Spirits Ministries. Wounded Spirits Ministries has been around for how long now?
It's been around since 2015.
Wow. Okay, and having quite an impact. We'll talk more about the ministry in just a bit, but talking about PTSD, let's talk about some of the trauma symptoms that happen as a result of that. And looking at your website, I see some of the things listed there, like suicidal thoughts are part of it.
Yeah, those symptoms are so real, but we would call them low-lying oftentimes. It's not like the guy's necessarily sitting on the street corner with a, you know, asking for money with a cardboard sign because he's walking traumatized and avoiding triggers. And so someone like that, so those symptoms that you mentioned, avoidance is one of the symptoms. You know, you mentioned suicidal thoughts. So suicidal thoughts are essentially, this is so horrible. The triggers are so real. I don't want to live another day. If I get up tomorrow, I'm going to be triggered. I'm going to have a nightmare tonight, or I'm going to have a situation tomorrow where I have to face something that always reminds me of that. And so they say, I can't go on. They're like Elijah in the Bible. It's like, I've been through this stuff, and take away my life, Lord, mm-hmm. from the earth.
Yeah. Survivor's guilt is something you list as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when someone survives something, you know, in a combat situation, they come home and someone didn't, and there's no good reason. But it's not just combat. I watched an interview of someone that survived in the World Trade Center. He was in the World Trade Center, just miraculously survived. He was in it and ended up on a pile of rubble alive. But his extreme survivor guilt, and he, in the interview, he didn't use that term, but it was obvious to me because of so many people that I've talked to. This man feels like he doesn't have a right to be alive. Mm-hmm. And what he talked himself out of suicide by saying, the people in my office that were next to me that died, they would want me to go on and live. And the things all about that, you know, tell about it and that kind of thing. So he found his as it were, his triumph in that. But yes, sir, survivor guilt. I talked to a man who had come back from the war in Afghanistan or Iraq. I can't remember which one. I talked to a lot of people. But he came home. So when he was in theater, half his unit died. Half his, you know, I'm going to say it was probably 5 to 10 died. So 5 to 10 came home. And when he got home, that was a hard thing on the part of the people that survived. He told me he's the only survivor because the rest of the group that came home have taken their own lives. So they have survivor guilt. You know, my people that died for me are over there. Why am I surviving?
Yeah. Depression.
Yes, sir.
Depression is part of that. Another characteristic that you list, trauma symptoms, is something called self-harm.
Yeah. Yeah, people people cut themselves. People, that's a symptom of trauma. If someone's cutting themselves, typically, it's not just a phase. We hope it's a phase if they're a young person. But it's the idea that their self-image is so wounded, they feel... if they've been abused by a parent, that parent that abused them, you know, manipulated them, whatever was abusive, that child, you know, the saying is, if a parent abuses a child, that child will not stop loving them. They will stop loving themselves. And so that child that doesn't love themselves, and I'm not saying this is the only cause for self-harm, but that is an instance of where trauma, because of something done to them, they hate themselves, and their self-image has turned from what God says, that they're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, someone for whom Christ gave their life for. They are now locked into this thing of, I'm not worth anything, and it's because of something done to them.
Anger is another.
Anger is still... So if you think about PTSD this way, think of a rubber band. If I had a big, stout, picture a rubber band that's about, I don't know, 8 inches long. And that rubber band is designed and created by the manufacturer to be stretched. But there's a limit to its stretching. So there's an upper limit. PTSD is taking the stress that God designed you to be under, which would be, I would call it the midpoint of this possible stress, and bumping it against the ceiling. It takes you from normal stress where you can waver up and down between heavy duty and low-lying stress, and suddenly you're kept bumping against the ceiling. Well, when you're bumping against the ceiling, any extra stress will punch through that ceiling, and it's evidenced by anger oftentimes. Anger melting down or suicide, but that means that rubber band has snapped. And so we've got to take that, whatever's causing the anger, if it's something done to you, it's now turned into something done by you. And that thing that's done by you, we want to help you to deal with what happened to you so that you can say, I don't need to be this way anymore. Hmm. God has healed me.
Amen. And friends, we're talking about right now some of the trauma symptoms of PTSD. We're going to get to the hope and the help here also in the program, so stay with us. Another characteristic is that of isolation.
Yes, sir. Isolation is where you don't want to be around people because somewhere in the people, there are going to be stressors. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be, you know, I'm already at the upper limit, so why walk around people that are, you know, that way? I talked to a man one time who... He had accidentally burned his house down when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll just say this. Because of that, he lived his life thinking the problems of the world were his fault. But God brought him down from the upper limit. And that's, he went from isolation to loving people again.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, a biblical approach to PTSD. We're talking about some of the trauma, the symptoms that are part of it, but we'll get to the hope and help as well. So stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, fossils are found in some pretty strange places sometimes, aren't they?
Yes, indeed they are, Chris. Usually they're found entombed in sedimentary rock, which originally was sediments that were laid down by moving water, but since then has hardened into stone, allowing the dead things to harden into fossils. But sometimes the fossils are found in truly weird areas. In a place in Britain, mud continually bubbles up out of an underground spring. It's not just water, it's mud. But with the mud often pops up a fossil. It might be a clam or a brachiopod, but it's in a pristine state of preservation. This is weird. But one thing I know is that it fits nicely within the general picture of the great flood of Noah's day, the one that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To discover more facts that support your faith, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Kevin Robb is with us today, Chapter Director for Wounded Spirits Ministries. We'll be telling you more about their ministry here in just a moment. But right now, talking about some of the symptoms of the trauma that individuals have experienced, things like suicidal thoughts, avoidance, survivor's guilt, depression, self-harm, anger, isolation. These are things people are turning to or experiencing. And Kevin is with us today. And Kevin, let's mention a few more of these. One of those is addictions as well, that people turn to addictions.
Yes, sir. You know, when you're traumatized, we're designed for fight, flight, or freeze, really. And but all of those things make you feel like your body, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're made to get away, we're made to fight our way out, or we can freeze, unfortunately. But either those things that take place put us in a situation where our body feels like it's being chased by a lion 24 hours a day. So when you're in that thing, you're just going to get all kind of imbalanced. And that imbalance, that pain, you know, without the hope that's found in Jesus Christ, that pain makes people say, I need hope some way or another. And there are obviously a lot of prescription medications that are done, and certainly we thank God for anything that's truly helpful. But self-medicating through drugs, addictions, you know, when you jump into that kind of thing where you say, I've got to have peace, and then they find out that it's they're hooked.
Yeah, and it leads them further down that pathway toward depression and suicide and other aspects as well. Let's also mention apathy.
Yeah, I spoke to some people one time, and they were drone pilots. And, you know, a drone pilot is technically not in theater. Sometimes they're back in the United States. Sometimes they're in a bunker in Afghanistan during a war or wherever. But a drone pilot kills, it's remote surveillance. Either way, they're watching people that are going to die. Sometimes it's family members, you know, that are caught in the crossfire, but they're watching things and sometimes making a decision to take a life. The fact that they do it remotely, you know, you go from the battlefield to your living room in 20 minutes, and that's tough. From combat to cul-de-sac, I've heard it called. So when you're suddenly back at home in the cul-de-sac, that battlefield stays raging, and you've got to face your wife, you got to face your kids, and you just killed someone.
Wow.
And so that those, you know, that situation I talk about, so, you know, some of those people, and not just drone pilots, but apathy is a common thing. And that was brought up in that situation where they just said, I don't care. I literally don't care anymore because I can't process the trauma. And by the way, I'll just insert this here. National trauma occurs also and causes apathy. That's what took place after the Vietnam War. That's what took place in many other countries that were ravaged with a brutal takeover. The people become apathetic, and that's a response to the trauma on a national level. And the Bible says, in national trauma, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after the things which shall be coming upon the earth. And so, you know, we just get to the point where, like, I can't process it. I think it's wrong, and you know, there's a moral violation going on, and that's what took place with these, with one of the drone pilots. They felt there was a moral violation, and so they became apathetic because it was just too much for them to handle, and they just didn't care.
I want to cover just two more aspects. Fear and anxiety is another.
Yes, sir. Well, fear and anxiety is that low level. You know, PTSD was originally classified as a fear response, but now it's fear is taken as part of it because fear, anger, depression, and all that comes under this. But fear and anxiety is very common because, I mean, if you were scared out of your wits in a situation, you can't just get over that unless God does something. And God has to resolve that. But fear and anxiety is where you know, anything from I don't want to go into a parking garage because I was jumped in a parking garage to I don't want to go out of my house because this is the only happy place I know and safe place.
Let's mention one last trauma symptom, and that is hopelessness.
Yeah. You know, in Jeremiah 18, God said, if the clay becomes marred in the hands of the potter, I will make it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. So the potter has the ability. God, the potter, Isaiah 64 says he is our potter. We are his clay. And as he, as something becomes broken, it becomes to the point where God says, if you're willing, I will make something new out of it. But if you read Jeremiah 18, a few verses later, the recipients of that sermon by Jeremiah said, there is no hope. And I just, I preached about that Sunday. And the idea that there is no hope is, you know, there, hopelessness is what you said, Jim. If someone is suffering with the idea that it's bad, I don't see any way that it can't be bad. I don't deserve it to ever be better. And so in the morning, when I wake up and God's mercies are there, by the way, they are there new every morning. And if you're listening to this and you say, in the morning, the first thing I do is take an inventory. And part of the inventory is I went through this and I don't deserve anything better, or they don't deserve anything better, or whatever. You've talked yourself out of it and now you're in hopelessness. It's very real.
Well, friends, many of you listening to many of these symptoms have lived it yourself. You're living with a loved one who has, and wondering, is there hope? Kevin, you represent Wounded Spirits Ministries. Tell us about your organization, what you do.
Okay, so I'll back up a little bit. For 30 years, I've been a missionary to the military, and working with the military, I just, as a missionary, I was asked to help with PTSD, but in the course of the last war, I would begin to be increasingly requested to help with PTSD. So I began to say, God, what can be done? Thank God, in 2015, Sergeant Major Doug Carriger, a retired Sergeant Major, E9, felt led to start this Wounded Spirits thing, and he had been in the ministry for many years before that, and obviously had served and retired out of the military with a lot of years. With White House duty and that kind of thing. So he came, well prepared, but then, you know, he's been through his own stuff. So in combat and that kind of thing. So Doug had started this. I knew Doug already. And so I was eventually asked to come on board and help with this. And I became the chapter director. That means the director of the person who goes out and starts new chapters and then kind of is the consultant and tech support and all that for the chapters. The ministry itself is geared, of course, to helping people whose lives have been uprooted and upended through suffering and trauma. And there is they offer camps. So there's usually two or three camps a year, week-long camps, typically Monday through Friday. And one of them is being held in Whitewater, Wisconsin, September 11th to the 15th. So Camp Joy. So I'm here in town for that. But
and another one coming up in Bemidji, Minnesota in October.
That is correct. Northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm headed north with my RV into almost Canada there. But I hear it's beautiful in that time of the year, just utterly beautiful. But yes, sir, there are two camps. Many times there's another one down in Louisiana. But there's also where we're getting a retreat center, which is going to be for long-term things, because sometimes a week's not enough and someone needs to be kind of just taken and put away from triggers completely for, you know, a number of weeks. And so down in South Carolina, we're getting property for that. And hopefully that'll be up and running in a few years. But there's also podcasts available for download on woundedspirits.com. There is on that woundedspirits.com, if you scroll down, there's TV series, really good videos that were professionally done and really show the heartbeat of what we're trying to do to help people.
You also, through your ministry, are promoting a biblical approach to PTSD. What is that biblical approach?
Good question. That's the question of the hour. So a lot of people know they have PTSD, suspect they have PTSD, someone's telling them they have PTSD, and either they're untreated or they feel like they need more than what they're getting. And so we're finding out through a biblical approach that we get to the heart of the individual. You know, you just mentioned all those, you know, things that trauma causes, suicide, you know, There's an entire chapter, for instance, of the book Wounded Spirits, and then there's a chapter of the workbook that we're going to be starting tonight in Milwaukee, and the new chapter, and you mentioned something about the chapters, but that we might touch on. But the idea is that the Bible really tells us the heart of why we think what we think, why we feel what we feel, and that there's a big God, and this great God sent His Son Jesus Christ to Earth. By the way, Jesus Christ went through trauma. The scriptures lay out the trauma, kind of graphically, that he was marred, beyond recognition for us. So he was traumatized. And then the scriptures also tell us that what he did was necessary in his life. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So as a human, God become man, he had to suffer trauma, not as a sinner, but as someone who was going to understand sinners and minister to sinners, and his own human nature, of course, needed that on a cursed planet, though he himself was not a sinner. So his ability to help people is from his own trauma, from dying on the cross for our sins, and then he wrote in his word a wonderful. In fact, if you look at it, Jim, in the scriptures of the people that Jesus talked to, just talking about Jesus, about 40 individuals are recorded that he talked to. These 40 individuals, most of them were in trauma. There was people in grief. There was maimed, halt, blind, people suffering diseases. There was lepers. There was a woman with an issue of blood. There was just people, a son that was demon-possessed, and the parents were traumatized. I see that all the time in this ministry. And why did he meet people? Why are almost all the people recorded in the scriptures that are getting treatment being helped by Jesus in trauma and through trauma? Number one is because they needed it most, and number two, because they were the most open to it. So the biblical approach is being offered to people who are feeling the need probably the keenest at any time of their life, but also have the most potential to rise up and really help others.
So you mentioned you're the chapter director, and so you're developing chapters around the country, of which a new one is starting right now in Southeast Wisconsin in the Milwaukee area.
Yes, sir. We're excited about this. It's going to be, I don't know if I can I share the address?
Sure,
and stuff?
Sure.
Yeah, it's, let's see, I think I've got it on a flyer here. It's on 60th Street. It's in the south side of Milwaukee. So it's being held at the Beth HaMidrash Building Facilities and on 60th Street. And I'll try to pull up the actual thing here. Anyway, maybe Jim will find it for me. I've got my laptop open.
Yeah, we'll
kind
get
of
it.
Things. But yes, sir. It's yet another local instance of a venue where people can come and weekly go to a two-hour meeting. Usually the first hour is going to be a video. Second hour is going to be go through a workbook, multimedia, and that kind of thing. Great, great experience.
A little more info on that after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America, a biblical approach to PTSD. And folks, in a short while, we'll be opening phone lines as well. So get ready with your questions that you'll have for our guest here today. But there is hope. There is help found in the Word of God. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman? Maybe in the airport, on a bus, or in your neighborhood store, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I know I should say something, but where do I begin? The Straight Way of Grace Ministry has a small tract booklet that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. A 24-page booklet that seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, revealing convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God, clearly presenting the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ alone. It's called The Straight Way to Eternal Life. One copy is available for a donation of $2, 5 copies for $9, or 10 copies for a donation of $12. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, A Biblical Approach to PTSD. Kevin Robb is our guest today, chapter director for Wounded Spirits Ministries, as he develops chapters around the country and now starting one in the greater Milwaukee area. And by the way, the address for that is 2736 South 60th Street. That's Milwaukee South Side. And your group is meeting on Tuesday evenings at this point.
It's actually
Wednesday evenings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So it would be at 6 o'clock. So 6 to 8 mm-hmm. on Wednesday evenings, and it'll be a 1 hour, you know, less than an hour, and then a break, a coffee, donuts, whatever, and then another hour. And each one's different. Mm-hmm. And eventually they'll have men and women's breakouts during the second hour. Mm-hmm. But it's just really a laid back thing, because with PTSD, we're talking about people that are at their max stress level. So when they come, it's, you know, it's a non-judgmental thing where people are not saying, I know your problem. I know what you need. No, you don't, because you weren't on the battlefield. You know, you weren't being beat up and abused and shot and whatever. So these things are made to be a laid back, just come and get some help, soak in it.
So you're sharing biblical truth, biblical principles at these meetings?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's biblical principles of depression, anger, biblical principles of suicide, all those things that we've talked about. Yes, sir.
You indicate that PTSD, with the Lord's help, is both treatable and curable. Comment on that.
Yes, sir. Curable, you know, treatable means that there's something that can be done. Curable means the person can go away and be over his triggers, essentially. So, yes, through the Word of God, you know, there's always those moments where someone says, I feel better for the first time than I have in years and years. I remember when I was at Westchester University many, many years ago, there was a woman that trusted Christ as Savior who was the resident assistant of the dorm. She had been raped. This is before I knew anything about PTSD, but she had been raped. But after she trusted Christ, the next day, she said, I slept last night for the first time ever.
Wow.
You know, since her rape.
Right.
And so, yes, sir, that you know, there's just something about finding out that God's big enough to help you, he loves you, and he cares. And these are things that, you know, with a focus, it's the idea of focusing, so that on the focus, as God's light is focused, it just feels good. It's a treatment. And then you go from there and you say, you know what? I feel like I can go back to work or whatever.
Now, there are places around the country where there are no chapters, but I notice you've got a book with you. Is that book something that's available to individuals?
It is, yes, sir. This one was written by Sergeant Major Carriger, and he's the one that founded this, founded Wounded Spirits Ministries. Mm-hmm. And this book is kind of the thing that started it all. He had just written it. And then from that readership, you could say, began people saying, you know, we need more. And some mm-hmm. people, as I mentioned during the break to you, took the book and began teaching it in the local VA or teaching it in their community, having Bible studies. And the biblical approach was something that came from that. And now it's grown into the idea of chapters. And
give us the title of the book and how it can be obtained.
Oh, Wounded Spirits. It's called Wounded Spirits, A Biblical Approach to Dealing with the Effects of Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. It's available on Amazon. And you know, obviously, if you attend a chapter meeting somewhere, if there happens to be one near you, we're trying to get them all over the place, by the way. Mm-hmm. But if you can go to Wounded Spirits, go to Amazon, you'll find it there, A Biblical Approach Dealing with the Effects of Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, Wounded Spirits. By the way, there's other books available as well. I am right now writing a companion book to that, and that is Growth from Trauma and Through Trauma, and it's going to be along the same lines and about the same size.
Friends, we'd like to open our phone lines today on Crosstalk. Maybe something that's been mentioned today is something that triggered a question in your own mind or heart, or living with a post-traumatic stress disorder or with a family member. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Kevin, we no doubt have people listening right now whose spouse or other family member has experienced some of the very things you're talking about, PTSD. What advice do you have for them?
You know, it's first of all important to remember that you can't think you need to just get over this, because different levels of trauma take different levels of time and different focuses. So the idea is, make sure that you come at it from a non-judgmental standpoint. Someone says, well, does that mean I just have to validate everything that they're doing, anger and so forth? No, you don't. No, you don't. But you just don't want to exacerbate it by saying, I know what your problem is, and this is what you need to do. You just need to do this. Romans 8:28, don't you believe your Bible? Is God real to you? No, what we need
to... I'm thinking of the friends of Job right now.
They did it the wrong way. Elihu kind of showed up in the end of the book, and he was a little different. But you know what? This is what your husband, spouse, battle buddy, whatever, they need God to show up. And at the end of the book of Job, was the only way that Job got help is when God showed up. And a big God revealed that he was big enough to handle his situation, and it was a game changer.
Amen. Well, our lines are packed, so let's go to the phone lines here. We're going to begin with Dwayne calling from Crossville, Tennessee. Hi, Dwayne. You're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. My wife and I have gotten permanent guardianship of our grandkids, a five-year-old and a six-year-old. They were taken from their mom. The father and mother got divorced, and she got custody. And when they were about 2 years old, there's about 16 months between of them. One of them was almost three, and the other one wasn't two yet. They got taken from their mom for severe neglect. The five-year-old is demonstrating, he has been for a long time, but he's in kindergarten now, and he scratches, he hits, he kicks, he's thrown over book racks. And he's about to get suspended if he does it again. And I think that it has to do with some sort of traumatic stress from when he was taken from his mom. Do you have anything for kids, or what do you recommend in this situation?
How old was he when he was taken from his mom?
He was about 16 to 18 months.
Okay, 16, 18 months. So he's not really old enough to, you know, cognitively certainly remember it, but cognitively probably be aware necessarily, but yet there was the bonding that was ripped away. And as you know, the idea something's changed in the way that a child is designed was uprooted. And so you see this sometimes where it'll start to play out later on in life. And they start to, you know, they call it acting out, but it really, what it means is they're hurting inside. It's they're kind of like the I compare it to the demoniac of Gadara in the scriptures, who was just so angry, and no one knew why. I don't even think he even knew why. And when Jesus showed up, it says he crossed the lake to see this guy because he was crying day and night, cutting himself and so on and so forth. So, you know, we would say he's acting out. But you know, your grandson there is in, you know, certainly as you know, there's something going on that he needs some extra focus to deal with this. Has he been, has he sat down with a counselor about this at all?
He's seeing a Christian counselor, but they don't really seem to have any answers. I don't know. I mean, they have master's degrees, but I mean, you sound like you would have, he needs a good Christian counselor, and I'm not sure that he's getting that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well,
would the principles in your book, would it be something they could take and apply them down to the level of what their children are?
Absolutely, Jim. And yeah, the book, if you do get the book, I would recommend, you know, kind of out of the gate right away, get the book, because principles of PTSD are different than what we're used to, and many times to what we our first go to is. So when behavior is wrong, you know, that's things done by a child or by a person. But when we're talking about the causes, that's now we're talking not what's done by them, but what's done to them. And so we need to go back to what was done to them, which is great what you're doing today. And what this child needs, first of all, is some extra understanding, and I'm sure you're providing that. You know, you're here obviously on the phone because of that, and you know, you're seeing that there's an extra need, probably because of that traumatic separation that he had and the separation anxiety and so forth. But whatever it is, I would start with a book, you know, just kind of cut to the chase, shortcut, start with a book, and then reach out, go to woundedspirits.com. There's a lot of video things there, really applicable. You'll see some things about grief, which grief is the idea of losing something, mm-hmm. a separation anxiety. And you'll see just some, they're professionally made, they're really good, they're godly. But I would go there next, and then reach out to me as well, K-R-A-U-B at woundedspirits.com. My last name is okay. Rob, R-A-U-B, K-R-A-U-B at woundedspirits.com.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. John in Lawrence, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yeah, very, very quickly. My mother in 1962, you want to go outside and play. I didn't. My brother did. My brother very, very quickly got in a very, very freakish car accident. I have been punishing myself ever since. I'm wondering, A, if this is possible, the ATSD. And then second question, and then I'll hang up. A lot of soldiers, you ask them about the war or the Army, and they don't want to talk. Is that also possibly PTSD? And thank you so much for the program.
Thank you, John.
Sure. Yeah. Well, on the last thing, it was, you know, it was all the way back from World War II, you know, the people that we knew, many of us knew, you know, growing up or whatever, probably until more recently, they would come home and not talk about it. And so, you know, the old school idea is internalize things. You know, we're tough, especially if we're, I say tough, you know, we're men and we got to go on with life. And there's good reasons why they did that. They were raised in the Depression, many of them. And so they have this, idea that, yeah.
Talking about a trigger again?
That's the thing. Talk. Yeah, exactly. Talking, if they're not ready, that emotional trigger makes them lose control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and no one wants to lose control, and no one wants to go back and visit a time that's going to make them lose control of their emotions. So, yeah, PTSD many times in the current war, many times people that come home, they just saw things and they don't want to talk to anyone who they feel like will make light of it in their mind, like you wouldn't understand.
And we're just before our next break here, but on his other question here, experiencing the loss of a brother, feeling guilt and so forth on that.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Bless your heart. And I'm very sorry that that took place. You have what's commonly called, you know, is a form of survivor guilt. You know, something else, someone else was hurt, someone else was maimed, killed, whatever. And, you know, whatever the situation for different people, that means that you are struggling with the idea, why me, that I'm alive, why them, you know, what is the reason here? Is it because I deserve it? No, only God knows, and God has given us a chance now to go forward and live on their behalf.
We've got to take a break. WoundedSpirits.com, the website, WoundedSpirits.com. More questions after the break.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Saudi Arabia was just added to the BRICS banking system. That was the announcement last week from the BRICS banking system summit in South Africa. Not only did they announce they're adding Saudi Arabia, but they're going to add Egypt and Argentina and Iran. What is the BRICS banking system? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Something we've been talking about for probably 10 years and warning folks that they're waging war on the American dollar. As we know, August 15th, 1971, Nixon closed the gold window And then he negotiated with Saudi Arabia. We'd protect them if they would trade oil on the world market using the U.S. dollar. So what backs the dollar? The fact that the world wants it to trade with oil. What happens when these countries now stop buying oil with the U.S. dollar? It's de-dollarization. Oh, I think this is lining up for some Bible prophecy. I'm Brennan House.
And we're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk as our guest in studio, Kevin Robb, chapter director for Wounded Spirits Ministries. We'll be giving you their contact information here in a short while as well, so be ready to jot that down. Let's go right back to the lines. Deb is calling from Des Moines, Iowa. Deb, you're on the air.
I'm going to try not to cry. I was abused when I was a child for about 11 years. And by my father, and I have one daughter and four sons, and I know that when I go through, when she went through certain stages as her growing up, that I would panic, but I didn't really know that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. And now my kids are all older, and they're all having children, and I have two granddaughters, and one is three. That's kind of one of the trigger years, is three. And my daughter does not want me to be sad, but when I look at her innocence, like last week I was having lunch with them, and I just started crying. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm. Well, if I may just kind of jump in here, Sister, God bless you for calling in, and very sorry that you were abused like that by your father. In these situations, you know, I want to say that you will be better outfitted to help these children because there's two things going on. One is your own trauma, and one is you feel greatly for their future. So get some help for yourself. Get some healing. Now, you may feel like you're doing great, and I get that, but to make your children not feel like you're suffering unneededly, you know, right. You want to have the joy of the Lord, and I know you do, but the joy of the Lord is the strength that they need to see right now. So again, go on the website, woundedspirits.com, check out some more things. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Bruce in Dover, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so very much. I guess the only way I can express this effectively is to just begin with Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? I'm 75. I was born in 1948, same year as Israel. I grew up with a brother that was 13 years older than me, that was a career Navy clinical psychologist. 04, Lieutenant Commander. He died. He called me his mother's treasure. And we went through so much together. Everything imaginable that could happen to a human being. Burned, mutilated, blown up, stabbed, shot. I'm still here. I'm on the air with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I will be at 27th. And 60th in Milwaukee. I'm a frequenter of Zablocki, and I'm going full speed. I was seeking to find a referral with a clinical PhD psychologist just because I wanted to review and retool my toolbox of ability to cope. You know, I focused... I spent 14 years as an AODA counselor. Out of 750 intakes, I was able to only manage 50. No, God made 50.
Tell you what, Brett, Bruce, for sake of time, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but let's give a point of contact here, a referral that he can. Certainly this the chapter that's getting started in southeast Wisconsin here would be beneficial.
Yes, sir. If you come to the one that we talked about, I don't know if you caught the address earlier there, but on 60th Street on the south side of Milwaukee, there's the chapter, and I'm not local here personally. I'm on the road as the chapter, kind of chapter development director, but on 2736 South 60th Street, starting tonight, actually, Wednesday night, 1800 2000.
Great. Thank you very much. Let's also get to Rex in Carlton, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Hi. Say, this is Rex. I want to say thank you for this topic, because I'm coming up to the 70th acknowledgement of my father's committing suicide back in 53. Mm. And I always associated PTSD with military. But over the years, I said that has to go into other areas also besides military. And this affected me so much by the loss of a loved one, like you mentioned earlier, that by the time I got out of high school, I was just a total mess. Mm. And it wasn't until I had a relationship with the Lord that healing of the memory started to come and what have you, and a lot of other answers become available. And in that, I just want to be part of helping others understand that PTSD is not necessarily just a military item, mm-hmm. but affects all of us. Because after my dad committed suicide, my mother drugged me off to psychologists and everything else, never did get any answers. So, and like I said, it wasn't until having a relationship with the Lord that things began falling in place.
Sounds Rex,
and
like,
I also, yeah.
It sounds like you'd like to start a chapter up in your area.
I would love it.
How can somebody start a chapter in their area?
So reach out. So I'm the chapter development director. So reach out to KRAUB at
KRAUB.
Yep, Kilo Romeo Alpha Uniform Bravo at woundedspirits.com. And, mention that you want to start a chapter, and we'll just, we'll get the, I've got literature, that I can send, and, we can talk on the phone or whatever, but yeah, that's what I do, man. I'd love to do it. It needs to the word needs to go, and lives need to be saved.
And thank you for the call. And they have a conference coming up in Bemidji as well that you'll find available on their website. Let me also let's go to Michigan. And Lori, we've got only 30 seconds, so we'll have time for a quick comment from you if you would.
Yeah, a one-time event of like really super loud. I was preparing to go to the Middle East, and on the firing line, I forgot to put my hearing on, and all those things went off around me, and I went flying off. Can that actually affect you with jumpy? I'm really jumpy when a loud noise happens. Is it a one-time event like
that? Thank you.
Good question. So, that's a simple PTSD, and it's just something that happens. Now, simple doesn't mean that it's easily fixed, but simple means it's not like long-term something. But, check out woundedspirits.com. Check out some of the videos. There are things like combat noises they talk about.
Thank you so much. I wish we had more time to take calls. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being in here today.
Great. Thank you.
Friends, again, woundedspirits.com. You may call them 574-400-5190. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.